by focusing on something that Chazal point out over here in the Seder, and I spoke about in a different vein, another time, different context. It says, "Vayeshvu lechem." So Rashi brings the Chazal Loma piercing Hakosav as Mason. Right? Why did the Posse have to tell us what they were carrying? Zanakimina, lohediyah matan schorim shel tzadikim. Shein darkum shel arviyim losay zelenev tehitron sherechon ra. That's what they usually carry, things that are foul smelling. Lezen is, for this one, for this occasion, is damnu v'tzonim shel yizak mireyach ra. In other words, they're banished and protected, Yosef HaTzadik. He shouldn't have a hezek from the bad smell. Pshuta k'mashmoy, adob etoyev, the Baruch Shalom is gedagdik, k'chut hasar and everything. That when a person is deserving of a certain oynish, so it's not just given freely. It says, "Through a common pole, you hold the rock of Mishpat." It's measured out very, very carefully. The avdus was a chelik of the oynish, but the suffering along the derech wasn't the chelik. And in Mele, there had to be a journey without suffering. Became the things a little ill, because when you come to think of it, you know, there's a certain let's call it contradiction in things that just are at the wrong time. The person puts on perfume, and Shas is being sent to jail. I don't know if that would add to his pleasure and make him any happier. He's being taken and sold to Avdus and his brothers, who, of course, they Leyochel Davar Lusholer. But Nachalam Arsus, they were brothers, and they just now were ready to kill him, and for the Eved they sold him to Avdus. And there was a tremendous tzibrochenkeit. And Uncle Pekane, Shas Maisa, they were besomim. It would seem that it would be like sort of totally out of place. The Pasuk says in Mishle, it's used for Moshe for other things. Nezem Zohav Ba'av Chazir. Right? Isha Yofa Vesoras Kam. Nezem Zohav is a beautiful thing, but if it's on the mud wallowing animal, what type of Yofi is involved in that? Yeah, but it increases the ugliness. So have it that air to Yosef's well-being and his pleasure. If he experienced, if he had the sweet smelling perfume, Bishasi was going down to Avdus. On the other hand, Abayisai, suffering be'etzem is not the it's not entirely without merit. There are two types of suffering. One which is a negative experience. Sometimes the beginning of a chain of Yerida without Aliyah. Sometimes there's no, it's kulei ra, kulei oynish. The Gemara said there's Yisurim Shalava and there's Yisurim She'enim Shalava. And there are certain simonim. What's Yisurim Shalava? Kol She'en Boi Loi Bittul Torah, Loi Bittul Tefillah. There are certain simonim which define Yisurim Shalava. Sometimes it's Yisurim Shalsim. That's Yisurim L'shem Yisurim. For the person's destruction, for his suffering, for his wrath. Sometimes Yisurim is a chelik of a seder. In order to bring out the higher mila, there has to be a certain transformation that can't come about without Yisurim. Yeah, you know why, Rabbi Isaac? You just think of it. When one wants to create a new matzah, so like we talked about in Shabbos, there's an akir and there's a hanochet. No, you remove it from one place, you go to the other place. It's not just a hitzor, but there's the bittul of the old matzav and there's a creation of a new matzav. The bittul of the old matzav is something that involves agony because it's taking something that exists peacefully and destroying it, uprooting it. When a person is transformed, changes a midah. When a person changes a mila nafshis. So he's not only changing and acquiring a dovah toiv, but he's also getting rid of something that's not toiv. Getting rid is part of his personality, part of his atzmius. It takes a sort of a violence within the person to uproot the chelik of his character. The replacement of it by something much higher and much better is noyem v'nechma, but the uprooting of what was comfortable and appealing and served his identity very well for a long time is like surgery to remove what doesn't belong there any longer. Surgery doesn't come without pain, because pain is a response to a twisting and a violent change within a person. So there, within the whole pattern of life, there could be agony that is a precedent to such maila. In that case, it's a double toif miyoid. I mentioned kamamal when you speak about Mashiach, k'mayhorot takrav l'ledes, tochel v'tizak v'achav aleho, k'ayno yinu v'ponach Hashem, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya. Right? The pregnant woman who's getting close to giving birth, and she's trembling and screaming in her agony, and in her pains. No? But what type of agony is it? It's the Yisurim Shalava, because it's going to result in the creation of a child, which is the greatest simcha. So Keinu Yinu Miponecha Hashem, when we await Mashiach, Rashi says in Yeshaya, and I said this here in the right? Yisrael Royan Yisurim Boim Aleyah. Right? Oimrim Zehu Simone Shal Mashiach Shev Betuchim She Goyel Ombami Tach Tzorim. That's what Rashi means there in Yeshaya. But this is present in all cases of transformation. A seder that has to involve some agonizing experience. So what happened during the Yerida of Yosef HaTzadik to Mitzrayim? They sold him for an eved. Avada, he had a vision of the future. He had chalomos, and the chalomos predicted very great things. But tzaddikim are always afraid. Right? We don't know. maybe he wasn't soichet to the fulfillment of the cholam. Cholam is no more than a nevuah, and a personal nevuah to the tzaddik is not a guarantee of things to come. The Rambam is marach on it, and the you read it to Mitzrayim is a question. What's happening? So the perfume is a siman boduk that there's hashgach over here. He's been treated like matan zchorim shel tzaddikim, and once he knows that this experience is bichlal matan zchorim shel tzaddikim and Cain, so then the journey is not one of yiyush, but it's one of shomer es hadavar, looking forward to the fulfillment of a greater future. The same thing is by Yehuda, right in the middle of the Seder. Vayered Yehuda meyesechov, and he underwent terrible yisurim. But Thomas was Shua Eshes Yehuda, he lost his wife, he lost his first two children. And the Tzaddik Yehuda, who only knew the house of the Ovis HaKadoshim, he saw Chatoyim, Vayera Be'enei Hashem Asher Osa, Shichei Saratza, and they lived later the Maisel with Tomer and the the Vizyoinus of everything that happened associated with the Sokol Sof. Yehuda was also being prepared for a tremendous role. All these Yisurim, this whole Yerida, was nothing more than a Yishtalshulis which resulted in Yehuda becoming a Melech. And Chazal tell us, and the man in Parnas al Tzibur, and they're speaking about a Melech, they're speaking about David HaMelech, Elohim Kein Kupi Shol Shrotzim Tolei Me'achorim. That's preparation for Malchus, a Kupi Shol Shrotzim. Scandal. Not just ordinary suffering, but scandal is suffering. Tolei Me'achorim. The Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara says, that's the only difference between Shol and David. So Shol didn't have the Kupi Shol Shrotzim, that's why he didn't succeed. And David had it, and therefore he succeeded. So he stayed in Chazal. And I might have discussed this in the past. The Kupi Shol Shrotzim is necessary for a Melech. A Melech has to be compassionate, tolerant. A Melech sees chesroinus of the people, and he uses his power to control the waywardness and the tzibur, and to control individuals. He administers justice very freely, and if he has that condescension to everybody, and he has that superior feeling, so he's apt to be a tyrant, and his malchus will be a total failure. But for him to be a meaningful melech, so he has to be imperfect, and he has to always have something in his own background that makes him understand shortcomings of other people, makes him tolerant, gives him the empathy that's necessary for him to rule and to develop the tzibur, to lead them and to guide them, rather than to crush them in his arrogance. So the melech has to have a kupa shel shrotz of tolei me'achorim always in the background. So David HaMelech was a hishtalshulus of Yehuda, but this the two yeridas that are mentioned in today's Seder are all part of the creation of the Shevet Yehuda and the Shevet Yosef, constructive yeridas. That's how we begin. Rami Oyve Dovi Yevayer Mitzrayim Ova Yogur Shom B'mtsay Miyot Vayi Shom L'Goy Godel Osam V'Rov. It has to start with Vayered Oyve. not just somehow a rule, like I explained before. It's a must. It's impossible to. Chazal tell us in Lo Yachpur about a fellow named Papi Yonah, who became very rich. He built a mansion in the slum. Why? Because he was he couldn't afford to buy an expensive piece of real estate. He could only afford to pay for the bricks and mortar and the up-to-date amenities inside a nice mansion. So he was only the Asher Havis Bonale Apadna Akilkalka the mosque. So he lived in a garbage dump, but he had a mansion. But that's not enough. If you want to be a melech, you can't have a garbage dump beneath you and around you, and you should have a mansion on top of it. You have to get rid of the garbage and change the whole foundation, the whole yisoid ha'chayit. That involves not only building, but involves digging a big hole and demolition. And demolition is painful, like I explained before. So, Chazal point out Ken Zion that the simon of Matan Zchorin Shel Tzadikim present was in the Gemalei Anoisim, was an indication, not meant to give Yosef pleasure. All he needed at that moment was perfume, and what he was given was a reminder, an indication that this experience was an experience that involved Matan Zchorin Shel Tzadikim. It was part of a long range seder with a tachlis at the end. Like Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeis Lasses, right? And if it's Chishev Es HaKeis, so then there has to be along the way Yadoya Teida Ki Geri Yizarachov Yeretz Lelohem, etc., etc. Then the creation of the ultimate good will be Sholem, rather than pakmak with the preservation of the every bit of katnus that was there before the godless took over and replaced the katnus. Nope. Today is Erev Chanukah. Tonight's the first lichtuah, and we'll be learning Parshas Vayeshev on Shabbos Chanukah. And in a certain way, Chanukah reminds us very, very, very much of this Yisoid. Chanukah is the ness of all the terrible things that happened, followed by the big nisim and the flaws, Yeshuas and Achomas. The kasha is, why did it have to happen in the first place? Why did there have to be a surah? So look at what happened afterwards. Afterwards, there were more and more Yisurim, but the door of the Tanoim and the Amoraim came afterwards. The Mitzvah of Chanukah, the Tkufa of Chanukah, was followed by the Tkufa of Hillel HaZaken, within which the Korban Beis HaMikdash took place, but within which the Mishnah was completed and followed by the Gemara. To bring out that shleimus and that toy from Klal Yisrael, I spoke in the past that the Medrash in Bereishis begins with No. The Choshech of Nei Sa'oim is Choshech Zu Yovan, the four Malchuyas, are Toyu Vavoyu, and Choshech and Ta'oim, and Choshech is Yovan. Rav Shozach, Sechel of Yochi, used to always say that Yovan created a Choshech. The Ramban says that Choshech is a time when you can't distinguish between one thing and the other. Because that's why the beginning of the period of Lila is called Erev, Erev from the Shoresh Taruvas, Sheyes Arvu Hatzuras Ubisu. And Boiker is when you're able to distinguish one thing from another. When the sun comes up, that's why it's called Boiker, Levakir, Bikur, to examine. It gives you the Koyach to examine. And Erev is when things can't be examined and distinguish one from another. They're Mu'urav, they get confused and mixed up. Yovan has that tremendous power to confuse. That's why the fellow. You're not too familiar with Chochmas Yevonos Rabbeinu. When I was a student in high school, one of the teachers gave me a book. He said it would be for you. It's the thing to read. So he gave it to me. I read it through. It was the dialogues of Plato. Right? All involves Socrates, who was the Rabbi Muvik of Plato, who was the central character in each of the dialogues. And he discusses and brings out the deepest philosophical ideas, very cutting logic and careful reasoning, the basis for all the philosophical works written by the Goyim since then. And you can't fail to notice that there's running from the beginning and through a number of the dialogues, there's a tremendous emphasis on homosexuality, which they were all involved in. And the life of Hefker Shekemoy. In a personal way, well, you can't really fault them for the Avodah Zarah that they all worshipped, because that was the culture that they came from, so that wasn't seen as a chisoron, but the other stuff was considered a chisoron. And when Socrates ultimately was decreed that he should be put to death, and he committed suicide, but it was because of corrupting the youth, and that was one of the crimes, and it's a crime against philosophy, but he really corrupted the youth. I mean, there's a total blend of schmutz and philosophy, light and darkness, able to take everything and come to the conclusion, one of the dialogues, that there's no such thing as piety, as any real morality. It's just a subjective and variable and flexible and so on. There is a tremendous amount of choshev, ridicule, every form. Let's take a look at all the statues which they left us. We have a Moirosha of the Greeks. A tremendous amount of talent. There's hardly any modern sculpture which equals the flowing lines of the Greek works. It's not that much as what we have from Rome, but every one of those statues and centered around one of two things, Kilei Raya and Avodah Zarah. A little bit for you, for Shvichas Dam. But that's what they glorify. So you have the beauty, the culture, right? Beauty is truth, truth is beauty. And at the same time, what's beautiful to them is what's ugliness to us. That's kosher, that's irvuvia. But it's very appealing. And it appealed to Klal Yisrael. You see, when you hear drushes about these things, Rabbi says, so we learn it out from Psukim and we express it in Mamor Chazal. And I'm not recommending to anybody that they actually discover it, what it really was like I did when I was not quite 16 years old, but that's what it is. It's the choshech, the irvuvia. It's there. There's a destruction of any absolute standard. But it's all relative and flexible. Filth and beauty is blended together in one. That the Rambam held of one of the philosophers. The Rambam held of Aristotle, but not of the others. And Aristotle, in observing the works of his rabbi movie, Plato, said that Plato was an oisburg. And it was about a number of the things that I mentioned. So there was a certain morality. Aristotle held up an absolute morality in a certain way. That's why the Rambam was willing to look at his chokhmah. But when they tell you in the drashas, Rabbi said in the Sforim, that there was choshech and there was irpuvia, and there was a blend of light and dark and beauty and ugliness, and everything was all one. They glorified ugliness and turned it into an object of beauty that became attractive. I don't know if the drushes that you heard ever realized, but that's absolutely what it is. And what do you think attracted so many tens of thousands of Yiddish and Afoshes in that kufa, in the elegant kufa of the Zugois of Antignus Ishsoichai and Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, the Zugois who were there at that, was the kufa of the two Yosefs, was during the time of Hanukkah. The Gemara talks about in the Shas HaShmad, one of the false kohen in Gedolim, right? You're probably familiar with two of them, with Yazun and Menelaus. But after that, in the Tkuvas HaShmad that followed immediately, there was Alkimus. Alkimus was the nephew of Yosef ben Yezer. And Yochim Ishtzeres is another name for Alkimus, actually. Another one of the false kind of Gedolim. But all they built a, you know how Yerushalayim looked? Another Beis HaMikdash, you see pictures of the Beis HaMikdash? You know, Rabbi said that right next to the Beis HaMikdash there was a fortress, Mitzar Akra, that was the size of the Beis HaMikdash, with impregnable walls. The Misyavnim and the enemy were holed up in that fortress for 25 years after the Nes of Chanukah. They didn't succeed in removing that fortress till the end. Then they destroyed it, but you could still see the archaeological remnants of the foundation. There was one thing, though, that they destroyed immediately afterwards. On the Har HaBayis, there was a stadium for Olympic Games, where the Kohanim took off all their big kahuna, didn't replace it with anything, and they made athletic performances in that stadium on the Har HaBayis. So there was that blend. The Kohanim were the first ones to come and run, so they were the athletes. So there was the Greek Games and the religious worship of the kahuna and the fortress of Acre, where the Menelaus, the evil false king god who brought in the armies of Antiochus, invited them to come to protect his position. And that's where he was with his cohorts for a quarter of a century. And you got the picture of a real Irvufya. And the Nes of Chanukah was that light in the darkness, the transformation, the destruction of all of that evil that infiltrated so insidiously and crept into the fabric of Klal Yisrael and became sort of part of Klal Yisrael. A different way sort of doing something, you know. They would say modern orthodoxy, moderate orthodoxy, tolerant orthodoxy. You could take the word and soften it. Modern sounds a little harsh. It sounds like some no good nick who's doing the wrong thing. Instead of saying modern, say tolerant, say moderate. Make it sound palatable. The Tzibur didn't realize that there was something destructive, poisonous. It was a cancer in the midst of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because the Greek ideal, which captured the whole world. Right? You're familiar a little with history, you know? The Kufa before that, 100 years before that, what happened? Huh? Alexander the Great conquered the known civilized world all the way till deep into India. Right? And what took place? He built up, he was 33 years old when he died of some of the diseases that he contracted. He's traveled. But he managed to set up in every single province an academy and a school for Greek culture, Hellenism, Isyavnas, living like the Greeks. And it became a craze, it became the in thing, okay? And that was what every sensible, civilized, logical person did. They spoke, dressed, acted, did everything like that. And Klal Yisrael stood out as a pack of retrogressive, old, dusty relics of some forgotten age, right? But now it was not that bad because the Beis Hamikdash had, right? It was updated with the stadium right there, and the service was ended with the athletic experience of the cheering crowds. They went to watch, and the, you know, right? Har HaBayis is Stov Lifnim Mistov, Chazal say. Right? There were platforms where you could watch the Avodah. And from the, and there was also platforms in the stadium where they could watch these sporting events side by side. So there was a world of the Irvuvia. The Nes of Chanukah was the beginning of a clarification, of an illumination. That's why the little Nes, which is only an insignificant completion to the Maisa, the Ikir Nes is, of course, Masarta, Gibor, Yad Haloshim, Rab, Yad Atim, Med, Yad Oir. The Nisim, the Ploys, the Yeshuas, the Nechomas, the Purkan, Guras, right? The whole works. That's all Klal Yisrael from destruction. But the clarification, the restoration, the creation of Malchus HaTorah, right? That took place through the Teres HaShemayim, through all the terrible suffering that transpired during this period. So it was a world of of Yerida, but it was a Yerida Tzorich Aliyah, right? That's what Chazal say. Mitnei Ma Yordan Hashem Elamat. Ve'igre Roma V'bira Nikta. It's Yerida Zu Tzorich Aliyah. That's what... The old Muslim again, where he would say Mitnei Ma Yordan Hashem Elamat. So, all the Yeridas that we have in these settings, by Yeridu Mitzrayim, by Yeridu Yehuda, that gives us a deep understanding into this concept of Yeridu Tzorich Aliyah. There's no creation of Dover Shal Maila, the Dover Toiv. Actually gives you the in Shabbos it says that if you make a klisheris, so you over on 8 malachas, and if you make a basket you over on 11 or 13, and it actually describes each time when you over on the klisheris, you make the klisheris, you take the regovim and you toichno and you get out the stones, and then you begin to blend them and make the klisheris. You make the basket, so you have to take the wood and split them and break them apart. You begin to create, you're going to end up with some beautiful result. So there has to be a toichen and an akira and all kinds of destructive experiences that begins the cycle. Now, I want to say just one thing more about Yehuda and Yosef. We have Yehuda was being prepared for Malchus and Yosef for Malchus. Yosef was a melech, right? He was the star that all the other stars. He was the yochid, the human being that all the Kochei Shemayim bowed to. He was the right? So even though, Rabbi Yosai, there was a Malchus of Yosef during the first Beis Hamikdash, right? That was the two Maluchas actually, no? Yehuda and Binyamin. But the Maluch of the Aseret HaShvatim was for the most part Yosef. The house of Yerovam came from Ephraim, the house of Yehud ben Nimshi came from Menashe. But mostly from Yosef. There were others too. But there's a Malchus of Yosef that was different, because there were two elements to Malchus of Yosef. One element is power to control everyone else, and the Amos HaMalchus that goes along with power, that was the Malchus Yehuda. Yosef Shevet mi Yehuda u'mechoykek mi ben Yaglo. The Shevet and Mechoykek are instruments of power. It's a symbol that you have control over everyone else. That's the symbol of the Shevet. But Yosef, it doesn't say like that. It's Bechor Shoyrei Hodor Loi. Right? And the kind of Yerim Karnov. There were soldiers, they were very powerful in war, but there were other Shvatim who were also powerful. God, Kedud Yehudanu, right? And the Dom, and it speaks about other other shvatim that were powerful. Sof kol sof, they were the Anshei Hasfar, they patrolled the borders. And the Reuven and Gad and Chasi Shevet Menashe were the ones who were the cholutz that was over Lefneihem, that was there throughout the Kibush of Eretz Yisroel. But by Yosef, it says something else. It says Choderloi, or like Rashi says on Bonos Tzor the Olishur. Rashi says that they climbed up the walls to look at Yosef, at the beauty of Yosef. But like it says in Pesach, by Yosef you face higher, you face lower. So there's a certain malchus which people, it's not necessary to use the power to control the people, to have the force of malchus, to have the institution of malchus. There's a certain malchus that's a non-institutional power. Chazal tells us that man malchi rabbona, right? It's hard to find that Chazal. There's a little book which a fellow printed, the same one that wrote the Ner Lameya, 100 different Dirtzim on the Beis Yosef's Kasha. So he also wrote many years ago, Yid from the East Side, a very tired Yid that sent the Beis Medrash, floating around the Beis Medrash, some kind of dictionary to find a source for Mamorim, which aren't really Mamor Chazal, but somehow, they found it. Some other source, or the Chalal of Maimer home with no mocker. But it's pretty close to what Chazal said, Man Malchir Rabban. The Rabban are called Malochim, because the Gemara says, Be Malochim, Yimloichel is the Torah. Here it says, Mishlei says, Be Malochim, Yimloichel, the Torah is speaking over there. Chochma is Bachutz Torah, and it says, Be Malochim, Yimloichel, and Me Malochim. And who are the Melech? Those are the Chachomim. Chachmi Yisroel. The malchus of Chachmi Yisroel is not an institution that rules with power, but they rule with personal influence. One knows that the Chochom is the one to listen to and the one to follow his guidance. Why? Not because of the fear and the terror that I have for him, but simply because I look up to him and I automatically subject myself to his thinking and to his decision making and his guidance, simply because of his personality, of his shleimus, of his chochma. It's his personal qualities that endow him with the influence of a melech. And if you look, you'll find that to be true always. So the Riva voice of Ephraim and the Alfei Menashe were the Chachamim, the one who stood above and who were the role models for Klal Yisrael. And Yehuda had the institution of Malchus. So in a certain way there were, it didn't have to come to that in order for Yosef to serve as a melech, there had to be a split and a destruction for Klal Yisrael. It was designed Meikora to be one, right? We learn out Torah soon, right? Kolakach Eitz Echot with the Yitzhayim, and another Eitz B'Hoyu Lachodim B'Yodim. That's what the Haftarah Vayigash, that's the tachlis, that they should be separate and together, each with its individual kofas, but serving one Klal Yisrael. At the end, instead of having the Alfei Menashe, the Yehuv Bois Ephraim, firing the Oyev, right, Vayigorash Mipanecha Oyev, Vayomer Hashmid, it should be firing one another, right? That's why when Yeshaya Hanovi speaks about Moshiach Satan, so he says, Ephraim lo yotzer is Yehuda, right? Yehuda lo, there won't be a battle between Ephraim and Yehuda. because the dual curses, the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yosef, are both essential to Klal Yisrael. So the creation and the development of these two Maluchas are found in the two Yiridas described in Parshas Vayeshev. Right? Yehuda had to be a Hisgabrus over a tremendous amount of adversity, some like we said before, scandalous background, like Chazal say, Kupa Shel Shrotzen, to build up and prepare Yehuda for the role that would be Melech David until Melech HaMashiach, or Yosef Shevet, uninterrupted. If Yosef is we have a Melchus of Yoifi, right? Yoifi, Rabbi says, is a very Yifei Soyer, Yifei Mar, personal qualities which the B'nai Ephraim and B'nai Menashe would fill Klal Yisrael with, that would grow up the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's why the brachos of Yaakov, they have the biggest brachos to Yehuda and Yosef. The others just have a posik of it. And each to achieve that status in life has to go through such a Yerida. And now, as I say, we're experiencing Yerida too. With all this in our background, we go through Yerida. The whole goal is the Yerida. It's quite a long Yerida. But the goal was punctuated by many tremendous aliyahs. Just look at it. With all the suffering and with all the chashuv. Just run the course from Tanoim, Amiroyim. Right, Yoinim, Yishainim, Achroinim. And today we have Chanukah Licht. We're going to go and challenge the Choshech again. It'll be Shabbos though, so we're going to start a little early before the real full onset of Choshech. Well, it's still going. We're going to warn the Choshech well in advance of its coming, that we have a full supply of oil, and the oil comes from the one who's Mosarta Giboyim Biyad Choloshim Ma'atmin Hor Dorchet Harbim El Choshech, like the Choshech of Bava says. That's one little drop, one light is all we have. Actually, the real mitzvah of Chanukah is only tonight, right? Mitzvah of Chanukah is Neir Yishuv Neisav. One single. After that, we're going to be Mahadir and we're going to be Moisim. Okay. But tonight is the essence, the first Neir. And the first Neir is a challenge to the Choshech and a reminder that the Choshech is never a permanent condition in Klal Yisrael. It's merely a transitional period, something that has a purpose to serve, but ultimately it has to be driven away and turned into Or. Thank you.